got up early this morning so I could walk the floor. I got to hit the streets 'cause there's a wolf outside my door. The bill collector's calling and my kids need better shoes. Gonna go to church on Sunday 'cause I got nothing left to lose. And it's a good day. It's a real good day for the blues. And dogs outside, and I'm looking for a job. The man I worked for laid me off. Lord, and I've worked for him real hard. But I won't let my kids go hungry, no matter what I have to do. And it's a good day.
Ruth Brown, with the title track of her 1999 album, A Good Day for the Blues. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're picking up from where we left off yesterday because there have been some interesting developments, wouldn't you say? We have Trump at it again, blasting away at Jeff Sessions, and in a way that makes you wonder why Jeff Sessions, who heads the Department of Justice, why would he stick around after your boss trashes you, excoriates you, makes you look stupid in the eyes of the public, and says that had he known you were going to recuse yourself from any investigation involving that might involve him and others of the administration, he would not have put you in that position at all. He says this publicly. And your response is, well, you intend to hang in there for as long as that is needed. You know, it's like, what does the president have to do to you to make you finally get the point that he despises you? He does not respect you at all. He thinks you're a wuss. He thinks you're a coward. And this is the kind of feeling he has communicated to others as well in his administration. So we will continue the discussion from yesterday on President Donald Trump's chaotic administration and disastrous policies. You may recall that I was one of the first people to use the word chaotic. He just functions so well in a chaotic environment. He creates chaos. He likes chaos. It invigorates him. Particularly noteworthy and troubling, as I've said yesterday, is Trump's obsession with utterly destroying or supplanting President Barack Obama's record and achievements, both domestic and foreign, that he achieved over his eight-year term. Now, as you know, I am not a Barack Obama fan. I was constantly issuing blistering commentaries on many things that he did that he didn't have to do. And the things that we wanted him to do, he didn't do in service of other people of influence and secret arrangements, which we still don't know about, but we will find out. there's going to be a very large investigation that will sweep them all in under the umbrella of investigation. But still, even though I had difficulties with President Obama, I am not going to deprive him his props. He did achieve many good things. And so in looking at him objectively, and let me take that word back. It wasn't objective. It was clinical, but not objective. In the sense that, you know, I long ago dispensed with that idea that one has to be objective. You can't really look at a thing from your own point of view and still maintain that you're being objective. I'm not objective. It doesn't bother me if people accuse me of being kind of one-sided. Very often I am, because I am seeing something from my specific point of view. I also appreciate the fact that you take a broader view as well. But some things just don't lend themselves to a broader view. When I worked for a black newspaper, well, I was the editor-in-chief of this newspaper. Even the New York Times had to grudgingly acknowledge that it was a strident newspaper. That's what they called us, a strident newspaper. I don't know what they meant by that. We called it as we saw it. And we were launched, we were formed specifically to see the world from our perspective. And we have one. And I don't apologize for seeing the world from my perspective. I could also see the world from a broader perspective. But that doesn't mean that in every instance when you do analysis, I have to be necessarily objective. Well, you could say I have an objective. Okay. I have an objective, and my objective is to open the realities to people, to show them exactly what's going on, and to encourage people who would be brave enough to say, hey, let me step out of my little world here and see what is happening in the other America. Well, I digressed. But we do have a problem, and it is a very serious one, although people are trying to remain kind of calm about it, and they're regarding it as, well, you know, the actions and acts of a quirky kind of guy. I don't think he's being quirky. I don't think this is quirky. I think we have an unfit president who has been allowed to get away with outrageous conduct and who, in my view, should be subjected to very close scrutiny. The earlier, the better. Because we are in deep trouble. And rather than come into the situation as a fixer, as a guy who could muster help from wherever he can find it, bring people together, put your heads together, and let's see what is the best way out or what is the most expedient way out of the problems that we face. And then how do we brace ourselves for the work ahead? He's incapable of doing that. This is a president who has been ensnared practically all of his life, his business life, in nepotism, conflicts of interest, secret dealing, backbiting, open attacks on his own people. He cuts them down. He turns on them. He eviscerates them. He has very little interest in working cooperatively with Congress. Not that, you know, you ought to be a sap. And, you know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is your job. Part of your job description is to try and indicate to Congress that you're interested in working in partnership, because the situation is so dire, although people are pretending that it's not, it actually is. And it's going to get worse. So something has to be done immediately to rein in this renegade president, or to stage some kind of an intervention, you know, to get him grounded in reality. But I don't think, I'm probably being overly pessimistic here, I don't think that any of these things would work, because this is the way he has lived his life, his professional life, let's say. And even in his social life, you see elements of it creeping into his social life as well. He's obnoxious. He's rude. I mean, you meet the wife, the first lady of France. All you needed to do was to shake her hand and say, "So nice to meet you." That's all you had to do. He went beyond that, held her hand longer than he should have, and he was commenting about what great shape she's in. Who does this? You know, maybe this is the kind of stuff that your Uncle Albert, when he's half drunk at Thanksgiving dinner, this is the kind of behavior. Well, this is not the conduct of a president of a leading country in the world. I talked yesterday about Donald Trump's obsession. This is an obsession with Barack Obama. And it began some time ago, but it's really out of hand now. It is unbelievable how Trump fixates on Obama, to the extent that you get a feeling that what he does just before he goes to sleep at night is he thinks of new ways to whittle away at Obama's term in office and whatever accomplishments he managed to achieve. And he's constantly fighting Obama's ghost. The man has gone out of office. Here's the advice he should have gotten from his advisors. Is leave it alone for a while, at least until we get the lay of the land here. It is not an immediate task that we need to take on. It's functioning. People seem to be okay with it. And statistically, it's doing the job. It needs some tweaking, maybe some heavy tweaking in certain areas, but deal with other issues that are serious. And then when you see your way, you can you can get to rectifying whatever it is you think you want to rectify, but you will be doing that in an approved way involving members of Congress. You know, you have a chat, a series of discussions about what ought to be done in your view. But this is not the way this president operates. And the reason he's doing this, he's taking on, you know, Obama is at front and center of his consciousness, is that he has no plan. He came in, remember, I said that from the beginning. This president has no plan. Which is why he has the time and the effort and the energy to give to making all this noise and creating all this chaos. Because whoever he's attacking at least had a plan. And to some degree, whether he agrees or not, they had a plan that they either attempted to implement or in fact did implement. But this administration has no plans in any of the divisions or departments that you would expect that they would have. Your education secretary has plans only, and she came in with that. That was her one thing. She's a one-note wonder. She came in vowing to destroy public education. That's her plan. But you don't know how. We still don't know what she's proposing. How is she going to be going about this? So that's education. Housing. What is the plan for housing? This administration has no plans, and it appears that it won't tolerate anybody who comes in with the idea who comes in accustomed to the idea of having plans. You make a plan. So you have something as your guidepost. You measure the progress you're making based on your plan. You know what you will have to do to achieve the goals and so forth. This administration across the board makes up its plans at the moment. But anyway, all of this to say, I've talked a lot about this. It's very, very important to understand fully what a president's role is, or the role of a head of state. This is very, very important. And when the head of state doesn't get it, it leaves the entire country open to all kinds of unnecessary things. The world community of nations looks at the United States. You know, our president isn't a president in their eyes. He's a buffoon. He makes everybody look bad. He also, in many cases, doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. He has no clue. And he thinks he could wing it because he is the great salesman of all time. But he doesn't have the intellect to carry that off. Now, if you're talking real estate, he can do that with his eyes closed. But the intricacies of governing, he knows nothing about. He knows nothing about these things. And we are putting up with it. We are tolerating it. But it has reached a point of no return. The Republican Party has to decide whether this person is, in fact, their ideal leader. not even ideal, but he will suffice as a leader. The Democrats, I don't know what they're doing. All they're doing is calling news conferences and belly aching and complaining, but no decisive moves, really, except that we had Congressman Green and others come together and file articles of impeachment. We all know that it's symbolic. The Democratic Party has not reacted in a way that shows that they have studied this problem, they have a strategy for dealing with it, and they can deliver. On all three counts, they fail. They're yammering, they're calling for this, they're good at calling for things. But they had ample time to get ready for this because they chose instead to support a person just as offensive, if not more so, than Trump. That's where they jumped off the wagon when she finally was ruled as having lost the race. But it's like everybody's just at a standstill. He's becoming more and more abusive. And in fact, I would say is endangering many things that had been achieved that actually served the interests of the people. And now that things have gotten worse, much worse, more than ever, you need an insightful leader. Not what we have at the White House now, and his band of family members who are equally adept as he is at governance. We have never reached this low, and we should not settle for it. We should not begin to regard this state that we're in as normal. We should be acting as if we are on fire. There's a fire. And we should solve this problem. It's getting worse. And everybody is going to be affected. All right. So I've said my piece. I'm going to take a break and come back to your questions and comments at 888-874-4888.
Checkers in the mail. I just threw my last dime in the wishing well, and it's a good day, a real good day for the blues.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the state of affairs, the very odd, unusual, and terrifying in some ways state of affairs with our president and our Congress and our Senate and our leaders and their inability to rein him in. What are your feelings about that? 888-874-4888. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Hi, good day, you, Chief.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. I differ with you on this topic. And to say okay. It's the worst there's ever been, I think that's incorrect. And I'm not a Trump supporter, but I think under other presidents, America was hiding behind suaveness and, what do you call it, diplomacy. Now, imagine this. Bush caused the death of over 1 million Iraqis. And are you going to tell me that Trump's horrible behavior is worse than the death of 1 million Iraqis? Are you going to tell me that Trump's behavior is worse than Clinton causing the death of 500,000 Iraqi children? Are you going to tell me that Trump's behavior is worse than Obama causing the complete failure of Libya and the mayhem Libya is presently in? What I think, let me reiterate. I am not a Trump supporter. However, I think that we have been hiding behind America's wickedness, and Trump is only exposing it. Trump is behaving the way colonialism have always behaved, like when Trump pushed that man out of the way. That's how colonialism behaves. When colonialism goes to Jamaica and causes a Jamaican dollar, which used to be more than American dollar, to be now one American dollar is equal to almost 200 Jamaican dollars. And this is because of the wickedness of America. So to say that...
Hold on. You're kind of off here.
I'm not off.
And I'll tell you how. Obviously, I'm not comparing and contrasting the behavior of presidents. I'm speaking specifically to the point of this president's conduct. And when I say conduct, I don't mean in terms of, the specifics that you are raising about how does the president conduct himself with respect to wars and so forth. There's no argument there. I never raised the argument. I'm not comparing apples and oranges. I'm saying this president is out of order. This president is showing all the signs that should trouble people about his mental acuity, his mental stability, his capacity for leadership. Now, I'm speaking specifically to those points. I'm not arguing anything else.
No, that's I'm a not whole comparing. Separate thing. What I'm saying, the point that I am trying to make, for example, Trump dropped that bomb, which is called the mother of all bombs, right? Hello?
Yes. Hello?
Imagine. People
I'm listening.
How many people have asked how many people died from that bomb? That's what I'm talking about. You know? How many people, we still don't know how many people died from that mother of all bombs. But they're more concerned
You are proving my point. And my point
I'm not,
is
but
this.
If you hear what I'm saying, though, the point that I'm making is that what they should be concerned about with Trump is not what they are concerned. And I'm saying to you, this concern they have about Trump should have been the concern they should have displayed about these other presidents killing people throughout the world. And I'm saying to you, Trump is just a wake-up call for America. And personally, Trump is not...
Okay, but even if he... Let's say I'm going with all that. He's a wake-up call. They were not concerned and so forth. Okay, I'm going along with your argument. Where does that put us? This philosophical argument. Where does that put us with respect to where we are now and the issues I have raised, which have to do with now, immediately?
And Hillary had created that no-fly zone, which would have caused...
You see, you're going off again. Just deal with the issue as it is. I'm not talking about Hillary Clinton. I'm talking about a specific period in which we are witnessing a president performing so erratically that it should cause everyone to be concerned. I'm not going into the history of elections and who did what. I'm saying this is the problem that we have. We have mounting evidence that we have a president who may very well be unfit. Now, what do we do about it? That's the question.
the others have been unfit to, and we didn't do anything about it.
About the others. We cannot do anything about the others who have been of similar mindset. You deal with the issue at hand. I'm not interested in the others right now. I'm interested in this president showing way too many signs that he's not fit for office. What should we do now? That's the question.
What I'm saying is we have to look at this president in context, and that is the problem. We have not been looking at things
We do not have to look at this president in context. He is misbehaving now. We have to look at him now. There's no context. And if it were up to the business of applying context, we'll be here all day.
That's the problem. Wait,
you're talking over me.
Okay.
We have reached the 6-month mark with this president. And we can say that we have noticed an increase in this irrational behavior and his actions and so forth, which should concern everybody. And in any part of the world, it would similarly cause concern. What are we prepared to do now? I don't want to hear about the context and the history of other presidents right now, because we know that that is also a problem. But we're talking about an issue that is extant now. It is existing right now. What are we prepared to do about it right now? What should, in your thoughts, what should be the approach right now?
Let me tell you the approach. Hello?
I'm listening.
If I really wish I could meet Trump, and I would sit him down and I would say, hey, where is the Trump that was on the Oprah Winfrey show several times, the Trump that Oprah Winfrey was asking to run for president? I would say, where is the Trump who on Oprah Winfrey said that he supports universal health care? And this was in 2000. I would say, where is the Trump who, when he was opening a golf course and they told him no blacks, he said, no, there's going to be blacks in my golf course? I would say, where is the Trump who, at the beginning of your bid for the presidency, you said that there should be good relationships with Russia? Where is the Trump who was speaking out against the pharmaceuticals and the cause of autism? I think people need to sit down. I would talk to him like, I'd say, look, man, I don't care how many hotels you have. Sit down and keep quiet and listen to me for a second. That's what I would do. And that's what they need to do with him and bring him back to his senses
I accept your view, but I'll tell you, I resent the idea. I resent it of having to rehabilitate people who are doing me wrong. That's not my job. My job is to survive. Get him out of my hair? You know, we have to come out of the theoretical into the world of the practical. Theoretically, we should all hold hands and sing kumbaya. It ain't going to happen. I am not interested in making that happen. Trump has enough money and whatnot to go get himself rehabilitated. The issue for me is, you are president of the United States. I didn't elect you, but a whole bunch of people did. And they put you in the office under the impression that you know what you're doing, that you can get things done. that you can do right, you're not doing right. So that brings us to a point where we have some hard decisions to make. Do we continue to subject ourselves as a country to the whims and the wild imaginings of Donald Trump, the lies, the deceit, the nepotism? Do we continue with that? Or do we try something that indicates that we understand our country to be in a state of crisis with this man at the helm? That's the question. And for that, this is not philosophical. This is a hard-nosed question that requires a hard-nosed answer. Thanks for getting us started today. I enjoyed talking with you as usual. Bill from New Jersey, what have you to say? Bill?
The thing I have to say is I completely agree with Lincoln. Completely agree. Let me see if I can say it a different way.
Okay.
It's something that's been on my mind for a bit. Donald Trump is acting exactly like he should have been expected to act. He was elected as this guy, and he's acting like this guy. I don't know what the shock is. I mean, there's no shock here. And just like David from Brooklyn is always reminding us, stop thinking that these elected officials are working for you. They are not. They're not working for you. They're working for themselves. So expecting him to do this for us and expecting him to help us and expecting us to care about us, forget it. Forget it. That's hope that is just down the drain. No president has cared about us in a long time. And when you say, all right, you know, if you go back to other presidents, you're comparing apples and oranges. Well, comparing him to the last president, that's not apples and oranges. I listened yesterday, and basically the day was comparing him to Barack Obama and how Barack Obama conducted himself and the good that he did and the success he had, and I disagree with all of that. Barack Obama is a politician.
Yeah, except I didn't say that.
Well,
except I did not say that.
You did say that you're not a fan of his. But you did say
not at all.
He had great successes. You said that one of them was Obamacare, which by all accounts, including the government statistics, is a success, and that he was loved around the world. When he went around the world, people respected him and people welcomed him, and I disagree with all of that. Around the world, they were very excited when he got elected. But by the time he finished his term, he was not welcome around the world. There were times where they didn't roll up.
I'm saying these things, all of these things that I said are in context. I did not, if people listen to the show regularly, will tell you, I am not an Obama fan. I was very emphatically not an Obama fan. I felt that he betrayed his political base over and over again, but I don't want to go through a postmortem on Barack Obama. I was speaking about Barack Obama in the context of a president who at least understood what a president ought to do and what he ought to be, and he kind of tried that. The current president doesn't care about that. The current president doesn't have an idea that this is a country. It's not your private property. It's not your personal assets. And there's a way you are supposed to conduct yourself. And if you don't conduct yourself that way, and this is really the question coming back to us as citizens of this country, do we therefore have no choice but to let the man do whatever he wants to do, no matter what the impact is on us? Is that the solution, to just let him have his way, and, you know, we see what we could do the next time around in 2020.
That's exactly what I'm saying. He is acting like the guy that we elected, or whoever voted for him elected. They're not getting some different guy. It's not like he said, I'm going to be this way, and then he got elected and he changed to being another way, like Barack Obama did. Barack Obama definitely was not the guy that campaigned. But Trump is exactly the guy that campaigned. Exactly. He hasn't changed a bit. I mean, I have to give him that. He didn't change completely like Barack Obama did. And I just have to go back to Obamacare just briefly. When you say it was a success and the government statistics say it's a success and all accounts it's a success, you mentioned, I know you know, that Obamacare really is not Obamacare. It's Hillary Clinton and the insurance
company. I have said this repeatedly.
Right.
I explained so many times what Obamacare is, and which was why I opposed it repeatedly. So I'm under no illusions about Obamacare. I'm saying this is what is presented as the argument to say that Obama's approach was very different from the approach that Donald Trump is taking now. He's gone. He's assembled a team of people to study the thing and make recommendations. And I disagree with the whole thing. I always have. I've always been very vocal about it. Because the number one problem is this is not a patient-centered thing. This was something that Hillary Clinton ran off in secret with the insurance people that she wanted to basically carve her little new revenue stream with, and they call it Obamacare. This is not really health care. This is insurance company care. So we still haven't gotten it, but I'm talking about, at least let's appreciate the difference in approach, the difference in method. Even if it is, you know, contradictory, even if it is not genuine, whatever it is, the fact is the approach was at least, it made an effort. It made an effort to study the thing and present the arguments for it publicly, get people to comment and whatnot. So I don't see that in Trump. Trump didn't do that. Trump's only concern is to smash it to smithereens. And he hasn't really explained what those reasons are. He has not yet presented a credible argument, because this is a vendetta. This is personal, and we shouldn't have that. Now, I'm arguing about a president, and I've shared with the audience, I stopped voting 20-odd years ago because the system makes no sense to me. But I still recognize the fact that I do have a right to hold the leader accountable, whether I vote or not. So no, I'm not under any illusions about Barack Obama, nor Donald Trump. I'm saying, however, we still haven't come up with a cogent response to this president, who is clearly out of control. He's out of control.
Can I make a couple points?
Sure.
One, in this country, you don't have a right to hold the president to account. There's no system to hold the president to account. The president can do what they want, and there's nothing people can do about it until it comes time to vote again. So I have no illusion that you can hold the president to account. But just briefly on Obamacare, making an argument against it. Donald Trump hasn't made an argument against it. I can make an argument against it in two sentences. And that is...
Yeah, but that's you. But the issue isn't you. What Trump's arguments are against it. He doesn't have any. His arguments against it are, I want it gone. And I'm the president. Get it gone.
I'd like it to be gone, too. My argument
the point is that you and I are not president. Donald Trump is president.
Yes,
and
because he was elected, and there's nothing you can do about that. That's my point. There's nothing you can do about it. But as far as I just want to get this in, is the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. If Hillary Clinton and the insurance companies devised it, there's no way that it's good for people. Hillary Clinton is the queen of, you think this is good for you, but it's only good for me and those that pay me. Now, you know that. Everyone knows that. So if she designed it, absolutely there's no chance that it's good for people. No chance. I don't care what
All right.
the budget
that's,
office
that's
says.
That's an assessment.
No
okay,
chance.
I agree. That's your assessment, and I agree with it. I have been preaching about this for quite some time, the exact thing that you just presented. I've been talking about it. But the issue at hand is, as a citizen of this country, as an American, whether you voted or not, are you saying to me that if there is an issue with the conduct of the president, his behavior, his decisions, the way he is going about the business of governing, all these things, other things that are coming into the circle of consideration, nepotism, conflicts of interest and so forth. Are you saying to me that there is nothing that we can do in this situation to compel some kind of decision to be made about the fitness of the president for office?
There is nothing that you can do about that. And I'm also saying that he's no different than any other president. He only cares about himself and his corporate masters, and he's no different than Barack Obama, no different than George Bush. As far as him being crazy, they're all crazy. They're all drug addicts and alcoholics. I mean, we've had presidents that have been crazy. I mean, Barack Obama wasn't crazy. He hit it. He hit his crazy.
He must have hit it real well.
I mean, Bill
but
Clinton wasn't
I
crazy.
The case, though.
He hit it. Bill Clinton is crazy, and Hillary Clinton is crazy. They hide it. They're politicians. Yeah. They hide their crazy, and Donald Trump doesn't hide his crazy.
We know, but I understand
he doesn't
all
hide
of that.
His crazy. I mean, as far as I'm
still
concerned,
saying,
that's the only difference.
So
is
what
he
do we do? We do nothing? We just sit here and wait for even bigger things to happen that are even more devastating in terms of consequence to us? Or, or do we at least find some way as a nation to express our deep concerns about this president and where he's taking the country and find some way, whether it is national meetings or something, to say this guy is off his rocker and we really will not benefit by having him continue to serve as president of the United States. All of your points are valid. I've made them repeatedly. So I understand where you're coming from, but I'm trying to get into the realm of reality here. We are living in a moment in which I'm hearing we can't do anything about. I disagree with that. Thanks for calling. Jay from Georgia, you're on the air.
The gentleman that just spoke said pretty much what I was going to say. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
If you could speak directly into your phone, it would help a lot.
Okay, can you hear me any better now?
I hope so. Go ahead.
Okay, the gentleman that just spoke said what I was going to say. Basically, we all knew, at least most people I knew, that Trump was a lunatic and a, you know, not fit for the job before he got elected. There's no secret. So I don't see why we should be surprised that he's acting out the part that he plays. This is what he is. This is Donald Trump. I'm not in favor of him. I voted for Jill Stein, for example. But the only thing I can think that any of us can do reasonably without putting ourselves in any kind of physical danger with demonstrating or anything like that, to contact the congressmen, senators, maybe even the state and local people, and just lodge your concerns about Donald Trump's behavior. Because the reason he talks about wanting Obamacare gone. There's a large part of the Republican base that cannot stand Barack Obama for whatever reason they have, whether it's racism or whatever. And that's a big part of the debate. So, you know, he may be speaking for them. Maybe that's his way of speaking up for them.
Yeah, but what are we seeing? We're seeing also that Republicans are having big problems looking to him for smart, sensible leadership. They're not supporting him at all. I shouldn't say at all. Some are supporting him, but he's lost a lot of support. Plus, he's openly attacking them now. So it's deteriorating.
Well, that's about as far as I think we can go without trying to do something really stupid as a group. And I don't see how you can organize for that. I mean, the only thing, you know, if he's lost Republican support from Republican officials, they can stop him at some point. They can slow him down. He doesn't have that support. He can attack him all he wants, but at some point he might end up getting impeached. And I know a lot of people want him impeached. And maybe he needs to be impeached, but no surprises, he's Donald Trump. He's Donald Trump. He did exactly what most people knew he would do. So that's pretty much all I can think to say.
All right. Well, thank you so much for contributing today. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, but it's breaking up a bit. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Is that better?
Sure, it's a bit better.
Okay. You know, my beloved sister, how are you? I'm telling you.
I'm hanging in.
I listen to you. I really listen. But, and I said, that sister is having so much fun with us and teaching us so much at the same time and slapping us around at the same time. But as a professor, I have to correct you on one thing you said. Swamp and sinkholes? You missed one. There's another hole.
What?
In the Caribbean. Swamps and sinkholes. You know, there's another one you missed.
It's really breaking up, Willie. I can't hear. It's really breaking up.
Wow. Well, you want me to get off then?
It would help to figure out whether you are in a wrong place or not, but we're getting close to the end of the program too.
Yes.
Could you try moving to a different part of the room or something?
Yeah, I'm moving around. Can you hear me? No? All right.
Yes, but it's still breaking up.
Call
it's
another.
Still breaking up. Okay.
All right.
All right. Henry from Chicago, you have only a couple of minutes to make your case.
Hello, Utrecht.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, how about you?
All right, all right. Can you hear me good?
Yeah, for some reason we're having such, I don't know, it's not smooth, the connections at all. All right, okay. But what are you thinking?
All right, just real quickly, I disagree with the previous caller in regards to there's nothing we can do. But I think what we have to do as a group, as a unit, because we can't do this individually, but I know one of the things that we have to do is go full-blown economic warfare against the system. We can't vote our way out of oppression, as one person had said before. The only thing we could do generally is to either full-blown bloody revolution, which I don't think that's an option right now, or the next best step is a full-blown economic warfare. Whereas we have to pick something that this government relies on and just not support it. Or we could just do like the early people of the revolution and just refuse to pay taxes. So something's gotta give. And we have to understand that we are in a war with this political system. And we can't use the system to fix it. We can't count on the system to fix itself. So that's basically my two cents in the whole thing.
Okay, we leave it there. I'm sure tomorrow, being Free Your Mind Friday, there would be additional opinions because there are quite a few people in queue, and that means that they have something to contribute and they want to say it. So there will be room for that tomorrow, of course. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. You would want to reach me if you do. It's leadstories@gmail.com. And we will continue the discussion tomorrow. It goes wherever you want to take it because it's Free Your Mind Friday. Thanks for listening. A pleasure always and a great privilege to be in your company. Bye-bye.
I got up early this morning so I could walk the floor. I got to hit the streets 'cause there's a wolf outside my door. Gonna go to church on Sunday. Lord, I got nothing to lose. And it's a good day.